Amen and amen. Come on, let's clap and thank Jesus for his presence today. Come on, church. Come on, we can be louder than that in the first service and thank God for his grace. Amen. I think we should keep clapping for the worship team doing such a great job leading us in praise and worship today. Amen. You may be seated. Take a seat. What an honor to be here today. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter number 4, verse 31. And I'm going to jump in just a moment, but it is good to be in church. Any church fans? I love church. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in church. My wife and I have the privilege of leading a church. And I just want to say there's nothing like the house of God. And have you ever been to bad church? You know what I'm saying? And so when you've been to bad church, you can really appreciate good church. And I just want to take a moment and just honor and celebrate all that God is doing in this place. Because great churches don't fall from the sky. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of love. Come on, let's clap for all the volunteers today. And let's keep clapping for your pastors. Come on, let's thank Pastor David and Nicole. We give honor where honor is due. I honored them yesterday in the conference. And I want to just take a moment to make sure that we honor your pastors today. Because the Bible says, it's a very biblical thing, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, to share all good things with those that oversee and teach us the word. And I've known these guys for a long time. Last night we were on our way to dinner, and I was reminding them of all the moments we've had together. I said, remember this time, and remember we met up here, and remember I came to St. Louis this many years ago, and I've known them for a long time. And anybody thankful that your pastors never change, they're the same people, they stay consistent, they stay faithful, they keep saying yes, I think we should give a warmer and a bigger and a better clap and thank God for them today. We thank God for your leadership. And so, if you stood up right now, you get a bigger mansion in heaven right now. These are all the godly people. If you sitting, I ain't gonna judge you, but God will. Okay, Acts chapter 4. I want to preach a message today on the power of the Holy Spirit. I just recently wrote a book. It just came out a couple months ago. It's called Worried About Everything Because I Pray About Nothing. And I'm really excited to share some of the content of this book today. But one of the things I love about prayer and God's presence is I think that the closer you get to the Holy Spirit, the more he causes you to be bold. In fact, I want to preach a message right down the title. It's called Pretty Bold If You Ask Me. Have you ever had to say that to somebody? Pretty bold if you ask me. This is what I say to my kids when they try and talk back to me. I'm like, okay, you're 5, you're 7. I have 4 children, 11, 9, 7, 5. 50% of them are saved and 50% I don't like. Anyways, I'm kidding. I like all of them just when they're sleeping. But sometimes they say things I'm like, that's pretty bold, man. I don't know if you should be talking to your mother that way. One of the signs that you are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit will tell us is that when being bold is evident out of your life. I don't know if you realize this, but the Holy Spirit, the beautiful third person of the Trinity, he is in you for you and he is on you for others. The Holy Spirit resides in you so he can comfort you and convict you so that he can remind you and he can teach you. I'm thankful today that I don't need to come to church to get some Jesus. I got Jesus living in me 24/7. Thankful for that reality today. The Spirit of God. And by the way, when you got saved, shout out to all the people that got saved today. We're so excited for you. When you get saved, God does not give you a trial period with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give, like the other day, my son was trying to download an app. And when he was like, Dad, can I download this app? It gave me options. You could pay $7,000 for 1 year subscription, or you can have a free trial for 2 weeks. I was like, fam, we definitely choosing the free trial. You get 2 weeks with this app. Enjoy it, son. The Holy Spirit is not on trial for your life. No, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit is activated in your life. the Holy Spirit begins to move in you and lead you and guide you. He starts to change you. Listen, God loves you just the way you are. He just loves you way too much to leave you that way. We call this salvation leading into sanctification. Salvation is a moment. It's a decision. It's a hand raised. It's a prayer we pray. Salvation. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit starts to sanctify you. Because the reality is, your life has been shaped by four things: trauma, drama, daddy, and mama. Somebody give me an amen, like you know what I'm talking about. For some of you, the trauma hit harder than the mama. Okay, I get it. But we've all been shaped by four things. And the Holy Spirit starts to move in us, chisel away hard things, starts to revive dead things, starts to do what only God can do on the inside. And God knows if he can get it to you, he can move it through you. If God can get a word in your spirit, if God can touch your mind, God knows how powerful you are and the potential that's on your life. So the Holy Spirit starts working. I love this. The Bible says, "For it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." For it is God, God, for it is God. It's not your spouse that's working on you. God is working on you. God is where, and God works the day shift. He works the midnight shift. He works the afternoon shift. He doesn't stop working. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. For it is God, for it is God, for it is God who is, God don't work at Home Depot, God don't work at Starbucks, God works on you. And what does he do? God, in fact, the Greek word there, works, is the Greek word energeo. It's where we derive in our English language the word energize. For it is God who is energizing you. It is God who is spurring you. It is God who is kickstarting you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I came to remind somebody, you were made for a purpose. God has a reason for you to exist. The Bible says you were made in Christ for good works. You weren't made to sit in the pew. You were made to do something for God. So the Holy Spirit is, are we going to have church today or not? Anybody thankful that God is working in you? If I was back in LA, I'd say work, 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 work. But I'm not. I'm not going to do that. It's really weird. It's really weird. It's really weird. It's really weird. God is working in you from the moment you were born, even after you receive salvation. The Holy Spirit, the beautiful third person of the Trinity, begins to lead you, guide you, mold you, shape you. And one of the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life is that out of this relationship, you begin to get bold about your faith. You're bold about your relationship with God. You're not timid or intimidated. You're not shy or afraid. You're actually bold about who God is. Because you start to realize, if not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't been so good to me, he called me out of darkness and into light. You get bold because you realize, I was once blind, but by the grace of God, now I can see. I remember I used to be dead, but by the grace of God, I feel alive today. And so now, out of the overflow, I want to be bold about what God has done in my life. Watch here in Acts chapter 4 and watch the evidence of this. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." See, once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are bold about your witness. Once you are filled with God's power, you want to share your faith. Before this, it's like, I don't know. Maybe they won't like me. Maybe I won't say it right. Maybe I'm intimidated by the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man is a trap. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you stop caring about what man thinks and you only care about what God thinks. You stop caring about the consequences of their opinion and you start caring about the approval of the Father. By the way, if you live by their praise, you will die by their criticism. We don't live for man's praise. We live for God's praise. That's why when Jesus was baptized, God the Father opened up the heavens. A dove came on the shoulder and he said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." I don't know about you, but I don't need somebody on social media to approve and to praise me. I want the Father to be like, "That's what I'm talking about. That's the way I want you to live. That's the way I want you to raise your family. That's what I want you to do with your money." They were filled with boldness. I just wonder, what would your life look like if you realized that God wanted to fill you with boldness? Oh, I love this. Watch what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and sound mind." For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is from the enemy. Fear is the tactic of the devil. Fear comes to haunt you. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Why? Because I have been approved. I have been accepted. I have been loved. What do I have to fear? I'm not going down there. I get to go up there. What am I afraid of? I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of sorrow. I have nothing to fear. Why? Because God has given me a spirit of power. He's given me a spirit of love. And he's given me a sound mind. I'm thankful today I don't have to live in fear anybody else. So when this becomes evident in your life and you realize, oh, living on the inside of me is a spirit of power. I have a spirit of power that resides on the inside of me. What does that look like practically? I want to give you three things to write down. Here's what that looks like in the reality of your life. Write down number one. The first thing the Holy Spirit will do in your life is he will start to give you conviction. Write that one down. Conviction, the word conviction. And I like conviction. Conviction to me does not come from parents. Conviction comes from God. That's why when kids go off to college and they lose their mind, they were living off their parents' conviction. And God is now developing them into their own conviction. And by the way, that's why I want to shout out every parent that is raising up their child in the way they should go. Because the Bible says when they're older, they will not depart from it. They might have a little prodigal moment, you know what I'm saying? But they're going to come home in Jesus' name. So the Holy Spirit starts to bring conviction. Conviction. Have you ever felt conviction before? You feel convicted like, you know, like you're going to eat something. Like, this is me and desserts. The waiter's like, "Would you like to order a dessert?" And I'm like, "Huh?" And like, "Do you want to order desserts?" Well, see, what had happened was, yes, I would like to order the dessert, but I have a conviction that I can't do it tonight. But call me in a couple weeks. Conviction is that thing, like, remember growing up in cartoons, they'd have like the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Conviction's that voice inside of you that's like, "Hey, hey, no, no, no. We don't talk like that. No, 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 no. We're not gonna, no, hey, whoa, whoa. Hey, whoa, no, we're not gonna do that." The Holy Spirit starts to live inside of you with power. He gives you the power not just to say no. He gives you the power to overcome. In your own strength, you should not forgive. But the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." So the Holy Spirit starts giving me conviction. See, my fear for most Christians today is that you're saved enough to be spiritual, but you're in the flesh enough to be miserable. See, we got to stop living off being saved. We got to start listening to the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit raise the level of conviction in our life. Oh, I love this verse right here. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, will you be the judge? But for us, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and hurt. Sir, I'm so sorry you want me to be quiet about my faith. I'm so sorry you don't want me to post about my faith. But I have a conviction about this. I have a conviction. I must tell the good news of God. I must share with my family. I must raise my kids in the house of God. See, I have a conviction about the house of God. I feel like Joshua 24. As for me and my casa, we will serve the Lord. I'm not raising my kids outside of the church. I'm raising my kids in the church. I have a conviction about my money. When I get paid, the first thing I do is I give a tenth. I give a tithe to God. I want 90% to be blessed, and I want 10% to return to God. By the way, when you tithe, you're not giving. You're returning. You're returning to God what belongs to God. And God said he'll open the windows of heaven, pour out more blessing on your life than you would ever handle. I have a conviction about my money. I have a conviction about my family. I have a conviction about my entertainment. I will put no vile thing in front of my eye. I have a conviction about my words. I don't want to be someone that's gossiping. I don't want to be someone that's talking trash. No. I want to live the life that God has called me to live. God said, you set the standard in your faith. You set the standard in your purity. You set the standard of your excellence. You set the standard of generosity. I want to help set the standard. And a lot of us, you know, what happens in church is we throw off our conviction. When I was younger, I don't really live that life anymore. Why is it that we are always lowering our standards when God has already set the standard? What's that thing, you know, when you try and go under it? What's that? Limbo. Yeah, well, you know, we're trying to get under, trying to lower it. No, God says, here is the standard. Don't move it. The standard of living is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for. Yeah, me. That's right. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The standard for my holy lifestyle that God has called me to live is the Bible. So I come under conviction. And I want to encourage somebody, if you feel condemned about your lifestyle, that is not from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation is from the enemy. It drives you away from God. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. It points you to God. We are not under the spirit of condemnation because we are no longer under the law. We are under the canopy of grace, so I'm under the spirit of conviction. And I gladly welcome God to convict me. I tell God, you can convict me about my words. You can convict me about my mind. You can convict me about my lifestyle. Lord, you can talk to me about anything and everything because I want to live at the level and the standard you've called me to live. Somebody say amen. Amen. Conviction. Conviction. So the first thing that God does is he convicts us. They say to this guy, sir, I'm sorry, man. I just, whether it's right in your eyes that I stay quiet, I'm sure you got a big title and a big desk and a, you know, office corner suite. You're the man, but we have a conviction. We cannot be quiet about what we've witnessed. God's done too much for me to be quiet. I have a conviction about sharing my Jesus. By the way, if you want to have fun in faith, faith is best used shared. They said, we can't be quiet about this stuff, man. We have to share about what God has done. So the first thing I get is conviction. The second thing I get right down is courage. Courage is the application of the conviction. See, I think some of the problem in the church today is that we have summarized or minimized God down to goosebumps. I don't know if this happens where you live, but in LA, people are like always saying this to me, like, well, I'll be preaching or we'll be talking and somebody will be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Oh, I just got it. Chicken skin. There it is. Oh my gosh. There it is. And it's like, I feel like all we've summarized God down to is chicken skin. There it is. Oh, look at that. Oh my gosh, chicken skin. It's like, guys, we have to get past chicken skin. We have to move from conviction to courage. By the way, God didn't bring you today to church to get information. And God didn't bring you to church today to get inspiration. Information has to become inspiration, but inspiration has to become application. It does no good if it's in your head or your heart. It's got to get down into your feet and we start applying what God has been saying. Courage. Courage. There are things going on in your life right now that you have a conviction about, but you have not had the courage to address. Listen, parents, I want to give you the courage to address your children. Listen, married people, you need to have the courage to have that convo. Broken relationships within your family, you need to have the courage to go bring redemption, bring reconciliation, bring revival into your home. I don't want to live off conviction. I want to live off courage. Oh, I love this about David. David, he's just the youngest. He's just a little David guy. He comes out to the war, and his brothers are battling. He brings, you know, some Trader Joe's and some Whole Foods out to the battle. He brings them some smoothies, and he brings out some smoothies to the boys. And they're in this valley, and all these army guys are standing there in this huge valley. On the other side, there's this other dude named Goliath, and Goliath is taunting every day. He's talking trash. He's like, what's up with y'all? Y'all church people are fake and phony. Your God ain't even real. He's talking trash. David walks up with the smoothies. He's like, who this joker? Who this? And they're like, oh, you just, man, go back home. He said, oh, heck no. They ain't going down. Are one of y'all going to fight him? They're like, oh, man, go home, go home. He said, no, I got a conviction about this. And not only do I have conviction, I got courage. He took some stones and a slingshot. He said, listen, you might come against me with a sword and a javelin and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the God of Israel and the name of the God of the heavens and the earth. He said, you better watch out, Jack. He flew that thing, hit him upside the head. You know David's bad because he ran up on the mug, took his own sword, cut off his head, held it up and said, what you got to say now? See, the problem for most of us, we've been walking in the kitchen every day intimidated by it. We've been walking in the kitchen. We've been in the bedrooms. We've been in the workplace, and we're like, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll deal with it later. I don't know. I don't know if I should be bold. Listen, I want to move you today from conviction to courage. Bold, and when Joshua took over for Moses, God says to Joshua, this young leader, he said, hey, bro, hey, man, no disrespect. Mo's gone. Mo's dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, you, son, be strong and courageous. Three times God says to him, be strong and courageous. A fourth time comes through Israel, the people. So God says to him four times, I want to say to you today, be strong and courageous. We need to have conviction and we need to have courage. That's why when we see something on the media or we see something on ABC News or whatever news outlet you watch, and we see some courageous teacher or some courageous leader or some courageous act, it brings tears to our eyes and we're ministered to because, listen, courage builds courage. In fact, Paul, when he was in prison, he said, listen, you got to be encouraged that I'm here, because since I've been here, I've been bold about my faith. And now other Christian believers in prison, they started to get bold about their faith. Courage builds courage. Courage breeds courage. I want to build courage in America. I want to build courage in our nation. I want to build courage in our families. We need to not have just conviction. We need to have courage to be bold, to address the things, and to let God do something great. Give him a prayer. Praise today. If you're grateful for the Holy Spirit, it's all the Holy Spirit. You're a normal dude. You're a normal gal. We're just some normal people. We're just normal people getting the smoothies, trying to help somebody. And God will say, I made you to be ordinary, extraordinary. I put my spirit, the same spirit that raised God from the dead, lives in you. You're not ordinary. You're a broken vessel, but you're carrying power. You're carrying my anointing. You're carrying my presence. I get excited about it. Forgive me. I start yelling because I think, what would your life look like if you went from conviction to courage? Do you know how courageous you have to be to confess a secret sin you've been walking in for a decade? Hear me, loved one. You are only as sick as your secrets. You could get health and freedom and liberty today. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. Not so we get goosebumps, but so that we do something about it. And we get the courage to raise our families. And we get the courage to lead our marriages. Let me get the courage to say, I didn't bring nothing into this world. I'm not taking anything out of this world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord with boldness. And we will lift his name high. And we will live to the best of our abilities for the glory of God and not the glory of self. Here's the third thing. Write down the third thing. Worship team, you can come join me. Write down urgency, urgency, urgency. You need conviction. You need courage, but you need urgency. You need urgency. You need urgency, urgency. Urgency comes from God. Urgency is when the Holy Spirit starts to talk to you and says, hey, let's not wait for a week. Let's not wait till you're good and ready. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the writer in Ecclesiastes says, only a fool waits for perfect conditions. Can I just give you a hack into life? There are no perfect conditions. When I arrived in St. Louis, everybody was trying to tell me, I think they were lying. Oh, Pastor, yesterday was 85. It was not like this at all. I'm like, why you lie? Don't lie to me. I got my joke, I got my jacket, I got my scarf. No, you don't have to lie. You don't got to lie to kick it. Only a fool waits for 85 and sunny. But you don't have to wait until you feel good and ready. You can do something about it now. Just love this. Because Jesus lived this life where he was always ready to keep going, prepared for the moment, living on purpose. And he lived not lackadaisical. He lived with urgency. I must be about my Father's business. I must keep going to preach the good news. I must do what God has asked me to do. I wonder, have you lost your must? Because we need urgency in these dark days. We need people that are like, I'm coming over. I'm getting on the plane. We're meeting for coffee tonight. We need to have a meal this week. We need urgency. Stop putting it off. The book of James says, the good that a man knows he ought to do and doesn't do sins. What good thing has God been encouraging you to do and to walk in that you've been putting it off? I want to declare over you today, urgency. Keyboard player, go ahead and play. You're going to make me sound so good and spiritual in Jesus' name. Watch when he starts playing. It's going to bless the whole room. The cloud of glory. I don't know which one you think is the best. I don't know where your opinion on this lies, but God clearly believes that the best Rocky in all the series is Rocky 3. It's his favorite. Mr. T, you get it. There's this dream or nightmare that Rocky wakes up from. And he had fallen in love with success. Instead of training in a dingy gym, he's like got cheerleaders now. He's just kind of coasting through life. Everything's good. And his trainer one day while he was falling asleep at the wheel says to Rock, Rock, there is no tomorrow. Because Rocky was like, I'll do it tomorrow, man. I'll train hard tomorrow. His trainer's like, there is no tomorrow, Rock. There is no tomorrow. He wakes up from this nightmare and he's sweaty and he goes in front of the mirror and in this nightmare his friend's saying that over him and his trainer Mick is saying that over him and he's having flashbacks of getting whooped in life and falling on the canvas and all he can hear is that line, there is no tomorrow, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. When I heard that, it made me think of that scripture in Matthew 6 when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. I want to say to your spirit today, there is no tomorrow. We need conviction in the church. We need courage in the church, but we need urgency. And let's let God do a great thing in us so he can do a great thing through us. Let's not put off the things that he's asked us to walk in. And let's walk in the marvelous light that is in front of us today. Let's be a church that says, I don't live for me. I don't live for stuff. I don't live for others. I live for the kingdom of God. I live for the glory of the one. I live to lift his name high. I don't want to get mine. I want to give. I want to serve. I want to love. I want to bless. So Lord, convict me. So Lord, give me the courage. So Lord, give me the urgency to stop putting off the the things I know I need to walk in. Let me pray for you today. Jesus, everybody stand to your feet. Jesus, we pray today that we would be a people that walk in conviction. Give us the courage. If you need courage today, lift a hand to heaven. Just tell the Lord, I need courage, God. I got conviction, but I need courage right now. Lord, I thank you for every hand that's raised. Lord, you know the situation. You know the issue. You know the convo. You know what they're dealing with. And so right now, we pray courage, God. Even the courage that David had. Even the courage that Jesus had to go to the cross, God. Give us, we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Help us, God. Help us. And I pray urgency over my friends today. We thank you. We will not wait for perfect conditions. Perfect conditions are not coming. But you are the perfect one that can give us the faith that we need. And so today we rely on you, Jesus. We're nothing without you, Jesus. We live for you today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, let's clap and thank God. Come on, let's really give him a thank you. Come on, let's really give him a praise today. Amen.